morning I'll be talking about free water that is given by the Lord. And the water that I'm talking about is living water. Jesus calls it living water. Now, there are actually two waters, two mountains, as you're going to see, and there's two blessings in this passage as we examine John chapter 4. Now, again, I've already asked, I asked the Lord, as you just heard, that you would be able to hear. But I'm going to ask you to really work hard at hearing. Not have passive hearing, but active hearing. Because this is a very important passage for us to understand. And as we approach this story of, and it's a true story, a real story of a real historical happening where Jesus talked to the woman at the well. And there's a great lesson in here for us that we need to understand. So if you would work hard, I'll work hard at telling you, and if you'll work hard at listening, then I think that the Lord might be able to use this today in spite of us. And I'm not clicking. Here we go. Okay. Before the world was created, there was no physical world. There was no darkness. Though we may imagine it was dark, there was no darkness and there was no light. There was no dirt, rocks, or water. There was no energy and there was no mass. There was no such thing as locality, place, or space. There was just God and God alone. He did not need all things that we need. He did not need light. He did not need water. He did not need air, because God is absolutely self-sufficient. And God, who is spirit, is the first and greater reality. God is more real than we are. And I say that in the sense that he precedes us and he has always been. And though we think of things in the spiritual world of being a lesser reality, they're actually the greater reality because it began with God. We feel strange about talking about the spirit world because we're used to things that are physical. And we're taught to look at things that are physical and test them. We live in a human-centered world. And that's our default thinking, because of the culture that we live in and because of the old nature that we have. We think God is the one who is strange, not us. We think of God being the one who's the extraterrestrial. And mankind has a certain arrogance that God is obligated to prove that he exists. You may have come to a hard time in your life where you've prayed before, where you've said, if there's a God, help me, if there's a God. You may have had a time in your life where you said, God, if you exist, manifest yourself, show yourself. And God in his grace has accommodated us by transcending from spirit God to man God in Christ Jesus, who is the God-man, who never had a beginning. Now, these are things that we cannot imagine. Thinking about the Trinity, that God has always been three in one, that God has always been and never had a beginning, and there's no such thing as a beginning with God, nor is there any such thing as an ending with God. These things are too great for us. Nevertheless, the Bible starts out by saying, in the beginning, because he had to start somewhere with us so that we could try to understand. Some of us have prayed in our darkest, darkest times, God, if you're real, help me out and help me out of my present trouble. Millions of people have prayed that prayer, wondering if God is real. We live in a culture that denies anything supernatural. And we make cartoons out of things that are supernatural. And we make fun of things that are supernatural. And we demean things that are supernatural. We make our neighbors uncomfortable when we start talking about spiritual things outside the worship building, Because in our culture, it's better just to talk about Jesus inside of a church building and not outside of a church building. Secular humanists of all stripes, communists, Marxists, fascists, etc., they all hold this in common. The belief that the only reality is the reality of the material world and material substance. God is not even in their consciousness. And we assume we know what is real because, well, we either touch it or taste it or hear it or feel it or somehow figure it out logically. And by these prejudices against God, you are demeaned as superstitious if you believe in God the Spirit. Before creation, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, three persons who are one God, they were bodiless, a spirit. And in the passage that you heard on video this morning, Jesus said to the woman, if you worship God, you worship in spirit and in truth. It's difficult for us, and that's why so many false religions like to make physical gods to worship. But the fact is, God is a spirit who's to be worshiped in spirit and in truth. We live in a material world, but it is distinct from but developed in the spiritual world. We live in a material world, but that doesn't discount the real spiritual world. Now, I'm going to try to proceed to the next slide. Maybe you all help me out back there. Next slide, please. Now, I'm going to try to demonstrate to you some contrasts this morning that come in this passage. We will examine two waters that Jesus talks about with the woman at the well. We will talk about two mountains that Jesus talks about. And we will show the contrast between two blessings that are given. Two kinds of water are referred to in this account. There's physical water. You know, the woman at the well, she went with her water pots and she dropped them down into the well, which was deep. And she tried to get physical water. John shows the contrast of physical water upon which we are so dependent. We can't live without water. We have to have water. It's very important to us. This woman of Sychar was at the ancient locale of Shechem, where the patriarch Jacob gave his son an inheritance of land. And so the well that Jesus approached and sat, and then the woman of Sychar who came there, that well was already 2,000 years old when the woman at the well came there and gave Jesus that drink. At Jesus' time, it was a very old well, but that well still exists today. The Samaritan woman arrived to the well where Jesus was resting after he had been walking all morning for 6 hours. It says it was the sixth hour, and the sixth hour is noon. The woman arrived with her rope and her buckets, and as no doubt she had hundreds of times before, it was women's work to do water bearing, and so she was about her task. The well was outside the town in a community, and that well was the source of water for the community. And since only women carried water in that culture, it was no small effort, you have to understand, to do so. They did it endlessly. Women back and forth and back and forth through the day would go and get water, and it was a very tedious thing to do. It would have been inappropriate for this woman to acknowledge Jesus sitting there, and she said nothing. And so Jesus started the conversation himself, and he kindly asked her simply for a drink. And she reminded him of his violation of cultural norms in talking to her on two counts. First of all, he said, "Don't you understand?" She said, "Don't you understand I'm a woman? Why are you talking to me?" And secondly, "Don't you understand that I'm of a different class? I'm a Samaritan, and you are a Jew, and Jews don't talk to us." Jesus proceeded nevertheless, and that's a lesson for us, not to be prejudiced in sharing our faith. But Jesus demonstrated for us how to talk to people about spiritual things shifting from temporal things. That's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus tells her about a water that never needs to be drawn from a well, that never needs to be worked for. And she is amused, and she says essentially, okay, tell me about your magic water. That's essentially what she was saying. Tell me about your magic water that you never have to draw from a well. And Jesus does just that. And he tells her about the watering of the soul that is absolutely free and never ends and is gotten without labor and that is eternal and internal. Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives eternal life, and he himself is the source of real life. The water that she got in the jar was temporary, laboriously obtained, and served only physical needs. But the water Jesus told her of has not changed. It is absolutely free. It is obtained by grace alone, in faith alone, in Christ alone. And again, that has not changed. The absolutely free gift of eternal life is still being offered to you today by grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone. And so there are two waters in contrast that Jesus demonstrates in this passage. Now, if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, the only way you can go to heaven is putting your faith in Christ. Religious people love to do stuff to prove that they're religious or they're worthy in somehow. And that's an offense to God. And this is what Jesus is really teaching. Jesus is saying, if you want to have something that's eternal, that's lasting, that really is life-changing, I'm telling you about it right now. But the only way you can acquire it is by faith. You can't be religious. You can't do religious things. That doesn't appease God's wrath against sin. It does not deliver justice. The only thing that delivers justice is that Jesus died on the cross and paid for all of your sins. Not only did Jesus die on the cross and pay for all of your sins, he died on the cross and paid for the sin debt of everyone who lived from the time of Adam till the very last person when God creates the last soul. Every person in the world. Now, not only does he talk about two waters, but he talks about two mountains, and actually she brought it up. The woman brought up the prejudice that existed between the two Jewish denominations that stood opposed to one another. The Jews of Jerusalem's mountain and the lesser Jews who worshipped at the nearby mountain called Gerizim, these lesser Jews were called Samaritans. They were lesser because the Jews considered them lesser. And the shunned losers and the lower class in the eyes of the Jerusalem class of Jews. Jesus gives reason why he worships at Jerusalem. And the reason that Jesus gives is because there is where the Messiah will emerge. The reason that Jerusalem is the right place to worship is that that is going to be the place where the Messiah is set up between God and man and give his life and give eternal life. Jesus essentially says that true worship requires no special place. One can truly worship God in Jerusalem, or one can truly worship God in the mountain of Gerizim, or as Jesus later taught us, or in your closet. But the Samaritans reveled in the fact that the patriarch Jacob had a stairway to heaven dream. And you probably remember that from the Old Testament, that Jacob's ladder, there was a stairway into heaven, and he dreamed this. And this was something the Samaritans were very proud of. And they considered themselves blessed. And as a matter of fact, there was a city nearby called Bethel, and the name of the city means house of God. So the Samaritans thought they had just as superior a place to worship as the Jerusalem Jews did. Now, I want to say this to make it clear. Denominational distinctives mean nothing to Jesus. It doesn't matter what tag you put on your religiosity or your denomination. it matters not at all. And that's one thing that's demonstrated from the passage, that denominational distinctives mean nothing to Jesus. He simply is looking for true worshipers whose prejudice is against evil and against the evil one. And just as Jesus' water is spiritual, so too is his worship. His water is eternal life, the Holy Spirit. That is spiritual, but also is the worship. It's not about a place. Worship is about a person. And today, a Greek Orthodox church houses the very well where Jesus talked to that woman. And if you'll go to the next slide, please, I think I have a picture of that well. I don't know how well you can tell, but that's the actual well of Jacob. And it still exists today. And there has been built a Greek Orthodox church around that well, and you can still draw water from the well, I've been told. Well, not only are there two waters, spiritual water and physical water, and not only are there two mountains, but there are also two blessings. The two contrasting blessings are both eternal. One is represented by water, and it is absolutely free, and is obtained by faith alone. And the other eternal blessing is the blessing of rewards. In eternity, due to following Jesus and laboring in his work. Now, I know that many people have not been taught about rewards or not taught much about rewards. You see, it's one thing to be saved in order to go to heaven. It's another thing to have in heaven rewards. And there will be many people who go into glory, who go into the kingdom, into the physical kingdom of Jesus Christ, who have very little because they're under the idea that, well, you got saved and then everything turns out just fine. And it's kind of automatic somehow. Well, it's true, you will go to heaven if you put your faith in Christ. But I want to tell you very clearly that there are two blessings. Not only the blessing of free eternal life, but there's also the blessing of rewards if you work for Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. And the word Jesus means Savior. He alone can give eternal life. And the only way that life can be yours is by trusting. I have 10 grandkids. I've told you that many times. The youngest one, her name is Lucy Beth. She's 2 years old. She's quite rambunctious. And last Sunday, we had our family dinner. Most Sundays, we have a family dinner. We have a lot of people there. And Lucy Beth was there, and she loves to be chased. So I try to chase her a little bit, but I can't stay up with her. And I chase her a little bit. Then she ran up the stairs, and she ran up to the 8th step. And she stood on the edge where there's no banister. She stood on the edge and she said, "Catch me." And she just, I guess she trusted me just to jump. So I stood underneath her and she jumped and I caught her. And you see, that's what faith is. Faith is nothing more or less than exactly what I just illustrated to you. You jump into Jesus. You don't do anything. You just, gravity takes you there. And that's what she did. And immediately after I caught her, she wanted to be put down. And she ran up the steps and she said, "Again, again." And so we did it again and again. This is believing, my friend. This is what trust is. The object of her trust was trustworthy that day. Because I was the object of her trust. She trusted me and I proved my trustworthiness by catching her. And she enjoyed it. She was full of joy as a result, giggling all the while. And she wanted more of that. This is a picture of two blessings. The blessing of the gift of eternal life, being born into the world. And then the blessing of trusting and doing it again and again and again. Followed up with more trusting and making Jesus Lord of your life. And continuing in him. It is one thing to get the once for all water that Jesus talked to the woman at the well about springing up inside you. That is the Holy Spirit, his eternal life. It's another thing to come to enjoy the second blessing that I'm referring to, and that is the Lordship of Jesus. Many people have happily received the gift of eternal life, and then they walk away and forget about it. But that wasn't Jesus' idea. Jesus wanted us to follow Him and be disciples of Him. To go on to that rare blessing that you can have if you follow the Lord and you take up your cross daily and follow Him. One gives you entrance into the kingdom, and that is taking the water of life freely. And the other gives you great reward for laboring for Jesus and giving Him heart devotion and making Him Lord of your life. Making Him Lord of your life will not save you. Taking His free gift will save you, and then He will save you from yourself if you make Him Lord of your life. Two salvations that I referred to last week. Some of us will simply be in the kingdom. Others will say, again, again, and will be given eternal rewards once they get there. Two blessings, the gift and the prize, which is earned. The first blessing is not earned. The second blessing is earned. Jesus talked about this many times to His disciples. Please understand, my dear friends, that the gift is not the prize. It is not the reward. To the disciples, He said this in the same chapter. If you go to verse 36, He explains to them, "He who reaps receives wages." Relationship is not the same thing as fellowship. When you are born of your earthly parents and you are born into this world, you are born into a relationship. You had a mom and a dad. Now, no matter what happened, no matter how bad it was, you will always be the product of those parents. You will always be related to them. You will always have relationship with them. But we confuse the idea of relationship and fellowship. Many people have relationship but no fellowship. And that's possible with the Lord Jesus. There are many people who are related to Jesus Christ because at some time in their life, they believed in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross. But it's not the same thing as fellowship. Many people have relationship but no fellowship. Believing for salvation is a wonderful blessing. But it's not the same thing as committing to His Lordship, becoming a disciple, following Him, taking up your cross daily, and obeying Him and what He has to say. Now, both of these blessings are eternal blessings, and they are acquired by faith. When you got saved by faith. And when you work for the Lord, if He is your Lord, if you allow Him to be your Lord, you're doing that by faith too. Because it's by the power of the Holy Spirit, that spring that dwells within you, by which you accomplish the work of God. You can do many religious things and still not have any fruit. But the fact is that if you depend on the Lord by faith and you let Him lead your life every day, well, you will know that the first blessing is absolutely free, but the second is accompanied by works. God expects us to join Him in His work. He has a work to do. Salvation is not the same thing as discipleship. Being a Christian is not the same thing as being a disciple. I want to make that distinction. Discipleship is continual living with Him as Lord. And I say this today, and it is my prayer, may God lead us into His work as well as His gift of freedom and salvation. May our rewards be great, for He is great and greatly to be praised. So I challenge you with this morning. Dedicate your daily life to His Lordship. Now, many people think about the Lord on Sunday, and then they go about what they feel like is real life. The fact is, real life is the Lordship of Christ every day, all the time. Just think about tomorrow, maybe several times you can think about this. And maybe you need a prompt. Maybe you wear a cross, or maybe you wear a ring, or you have some kind of reminder to help you, because when you see certain things, it could help you. But can you think about praying to the Lord Jesus all the time, continually through the day, and say, Lord, if you are in my body right now, and He is, what would you want to do right now? You know, maybe you're at home and you're really not that busy, and the Lord says, well, it'd be nice if you made a meal for your neighbor and just took it to them. Maybe that would be nice. Because that's what the Lord does. When you become a disciple, one of the things that distinguishes you from non-disciples is love. And love's not a feeling. Love is an action. Feelings do come as a result. But what can you do? What can you do in any moment for the Lord? Serve your wife. She's a plant. But serve your husband. Serve your children. Serve your neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. You can constantly be giving yourself away. And that's what Jesus does. And when you give yourself away without expecting anything in return, because that is discipleship love, if you give yourself away without expecting anything in return, that is Christ-like. That's exactly what Jesus did day after day, all day long. And that's what you can do. And it's simple acts. It's not heroic things, necessarily. It may be heroic. Maybe God wants you to go to another country and all that. It could be quite a heroic feat that you do. And we know people among us who do that sort of thing. But how about the simple things? To be a disciple every day. You see, there's a time in your life when you trusted Jesus Christ for the gift of eternal life and you became saved. But now, let's go to the second kind of saved that I talked about last week. And that is being saved from the power of sin, just living that old selfish life. We can be saved from that, being saved from the old selfish life, by giving ourselves to the Lord. Now, I'm not saying give ourselves to people who take advantage of you. I'm saying give yourself to the Lord, who will give you to people who take advantage of you. Because that's what Jesus would do. Jesus would turn the other cheek. People will malign you and say evil things about you and do things that are not pleasant to you. That doesn't matter, because you're doing it for Jesus. It doesn't matter. And if you do it for Jesus, you're a disciple. Following Jesus and doing what Jesus told us to do, that is discipleship. So I pray that you'll take the physical water. I'm sure you already do that. As a matter of fact, if you drink bottled water, you're paying 5 to 10 times as much as you pay for your gasoline. So you're quite interested in water. We invest a lot in it. But that living water that comes freely, that you pay nothing for, and that you have eternal life springing up within you forever, that's free. But what I'm encouraging today is that you accept Jesus as Lord of your life. Be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, if you decide not to be a disciple of Christ, you'll still go to heaven. But I want to warn you, and I think people don't realize this, that there are going to be a lot of people who are quite disadvantaged compared to others in the kingdom. Because what you earn today, you are given in the kingdom. There is a distinguished. There are people who give much to the Lord and they receive much from the Lord in the way of rewards. Paul said, you know, I fight, I run the race for the prize that is before me. He wasn't talking about getting saved. He was talking about when he gets to the kingdom, he wants his life to matter there. And I want your life to matter there too. I want you to receive many rewards. And I pray that you will. Now, this is something that many Christians have never heard. They've never really strongly considered that when you meet Jesus, that you're going to be judged according to your works. You're not going to be saved according to your works, but you will be judged according to your works after you become a believer. Now, I want to encourage you, because Jesus said this. Jesus said, if you give as much as a cup of cold water in my name, you will in no wise lose your reward. You see, it doesn't have to be something spectacular, but it has to be loving. It has to be giving from the heart. It has to be giving from Jesus. And I want to encourage you, if you do that, if you make that apple pie, or if you're standing with someone in a line of groceries and you help someone out, or you pay for the person behind you at the McDonald's line and they don't know it, make sure that Jesus gets the credit. Tell people, the Lord wants me to bless you. And the Lord Jesus has done this in my life. I tell you, that changes societies. That changes communities. In the early church, they went to the city dump and picked up babies that had been thrown away. The Christians did. That's quite an amazing thing to do. And they did that out of love. But everybody in the community began to notice that Christians did this in the name of Jesus. So what you do it for the Lord. Do it in love. And be assured of this. Everything you do in the name of Jesus, you will be rewarded for. You will in no wise lose your reward, Jesus said. Well, Father, thank you for the amazing grace that is ours. Thank you for saving us initially by giving us eternal life. And thank you for saving us from ourselves when we let you in our daily life. Because we are by nature, and we still have our old natures, Lord, we are by nature very selfish people. But overcome us, Lord. Struggle with us so that we might be true disciples of the Lord Jesus. And I pray, Father, that you will be glorified as a result. In the Lord Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'd like for you to stand with me. We're going to sing that hymn, Amazing Grace. We're going to sing two verses of that. If you have a spiritual need, we invite you to come. We'll pray with you. Or as the congregation is leaving this morning, if you'd like for me to pray with you, I'd be glad to. Especially if you've never had anyone to explain to you and pray with you about how you can have eternal life. So let's sing together, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first Thank you for coming today. I'm glad you're here. And I hope you come regularly and listen to the instruction of God's Word. Amen. And mostly that we obey it. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thanks, brother.